take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. We love
it. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, April 28th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for another great show coming to you live and direct from beautiful South Carolina. Got to take a nice trip to Columbia today, the state capital, and traversed many of the highways and byways. And what a beautiful state. A lot of trees and greenery and beautiful skies and nice temperatures, and it was just a wonderful time. Met up with Rosemary Wallace from Columbia Normal here in Columbia, South Carolina, and we met at the state capitol to transfer the Unity Cipher, which is about a 3.5-foot torch signed by activists all the way from Portland, Maine, as it makes its way down to Miami, Florida. So we are the relay leg from Columbia, South Carolina to Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be taking the torch to Atlanta tomorrow, and a huge day for tomorrow's event in Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be at the Olympic Park at 12:30 afternoon. And let me get the schedule up here. Capitol and Liberty Park from 12:30 to 1. From 2 to 3, we'll be at Centennial Olympic Park. From 4 to 5, at the National Center for Civil and Human Rights. We'll, of course, light the torch right at 4:20 there at the Center for Civil and Human Rights. And then from 6 to 7:30, we'll be at the Pot Shop on Euclid Avenue in Little Five Points. And I'll be at all of these events, taking selfies and recording interviews and signing High Times magazine. You might want to pick up the latest issue of High Times magazine, the June 2016 issue, on newsstands now. I think it's page 54 is where my article is on the top 24 world pot destinations. So if you bring that magazine, I'll be glad to sign it for you. Now, coming up on today's show, we have got a lot to get to because over the past 2 weeks, I have been from coast to coast, literally coast to coast, covering at least 9 or 10 different marijuana events. We're going to bring you highlights from all of them. Right after the Cannabis Radio News, we're going to give you a Cannabusiness Chronicles in favor of the NBA playoffs that are happening right now. We've got an interview with Cliff Robinson, a.k.a. Uncle Spliffy, from the Moda Center in Portland, Oregon. Then we'll follow that up with our trip to Columbia, South Carolina in the Activist Agenda. We spoke with Rosemary Wallace there in Columbia on the difficulties of activism and coming out of the cannabis closet in such a red conservative state. Then we've got the cannabinoid medicine update. In New York City, I got the chance to meet with Dr. Sue Sisley. She's been approved to do the first FDA and DEA, now DEA-approved study for the use of smoked cannabis for veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress. So we discussed that with her at the Museum of Drug Policy on Park Avenue in New York. And then a second cannabinoid medicine update. In Baltimore, Maryland, I got the chance to sit down with Dr. David Behrman at the Patients Out of Time Conference. So that'll be our hour one. And then coming up in hour two, I've got an extended feature, the presentation from Oregon State Senator Floyd Prozanski at the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference in Eugene, Oregon, this Sunday, as he discusses the legislature and the new regulations regarding recreational and medical marijuana in the state of Oregon. Plus, we'll take your calls an hour or two at 971-533-7111. There's a story in the news I'm going to get to as well. Plus, of course, the headlines. We've got New Jersey weed man, our good friend Ed Fortune, is in trouble again. We'll tell you all about that. Plus, stories from Fort Collins, Piketon, Ohio, King County, Washington, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Phoenix, Arizona, in the Cannabis Radio News when we come back.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
B Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat? More flavor.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belleville Show.
The story of Alexis, Team Alexis. She's the little 9-year-old girl who is using medical marijuana.
Allows a certain amount of THC.
It's the Russ Belleville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belleville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I said, on this program, what do they want? My grandchildren and the monster. Did I scare you?
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a Resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, April 28th, 2016. Trenton, New Jersey. A New Jersey marijuana advocate dubbed New Jersey Weed Man has been arrested again on marijuana charges after law enforcement raided his restaurant and cannabis temple. Prosecutors say Ed Forshin was arrested Wednesday along with 10 other people after a raid of his business across the street from Trenton City Hall. Forshin has spent time in prison on previous drug charges. He wasn't immediately available to comment. Forshin opened New Jersey Weed Man's Joint and attached cannabis church last year. He sued Trenton police last month, saying they infringed on his religious rights after shutting down the cannabis temple for operating too late. Acting Mercer County Prosecutor Angelo Onofri said Thursday the Narcotics Task Force had received information that Forshin was distributing marijuana. Fort Collins, Colorado. A Fort Collins mother has been convicted of supplying marijuana to her 19-year-old son, who leaped out a third-story window after consuming a marijuana-infused brownie. The son, Austin Essig, reportedly ate one dose of the brownie and soon after began acting strangely. Witnesses say he ran toward the living room window and jumped out of it without hesitation. Essig suffered non-life-threatening injuries. The mother, Julianne Jablonski, was cleared by the jury of the more serious felony charge of witness tampering based on an accusation that Jablonski begged Essig's roommate to lie about getting the brownie from her. The sentence for distributing marijuana products to a minor can range from probation to 18 months in jail. Piketon, Ohio. 8 members of a family believed to be involved in the black market marijuana business were found massacred in rural Ohio last week. Members of the Roden family, aged 16, 19, 20, 20, 37, 38, 40, and 44, were found shot to death execution style, while 3 children in the home survived, a 4-day-old, a 6-month-old, and a 3-year-old. As for a motive, Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine alluded to the discovery of commercial indoor grows found in 3 homes on the rural property, saying, quote, "It's clear it's not just someone growing marijuana in their backyard or in a few pots in their house. It's a commercial operation. Everyone can draw their own conclusions," end quote. An earlier press release from DeWine's office said authorities believe the suspects to be, quote, "from Mexico" and, quote, "involved in some sort of organized crime," end quote. Ohio voters last year by a 2-1 margin defeated a proposal to create a legal commercial marijuana industry. King County, Washington, the Metropolitan King County Council, which controls the unincorporated areas around Seattle, Washington, has enacted an emergency 4-month moratorium on marijuana businesses. The moratorium was enacted without any public notice hearing or debate, a move Councilmember Reagan Dunn said was necessary to prevent businesses from flooding the county with applications to beat the moratorium date. Voters in King County overwhelmingly supported the passage of marijuana legalization in 2012. Only one of the 9 council members, Jean Cole Wells, voted against the moratorium, citing the lack of public input. Albuquerque, New Mexico. The New Mexico Foundation for Open Government and a journalist have dropped their lawsuit against the State Department of Health, now releasing public records with names of licensed medical marijuana producers. The foundation and freelance journalist Peter St. Cyr sued last July in state district court, but the case was put on hold soon after because the state agreed to begin taking steps to remove confidentiality provisions. St. Cyr and the foundation sued after the department denied requests invoking the State Inspection of Public Records Act for names of the licensed cannabis producers. The department announced in January it would make the records public. The foundation's announcement of the dismissal quotes plaintiff's attorney Charles Kip Purcell as expressing appreciation for the department's willingness to revamp its original confidentiality rules. Phoenix, Arizona. Arizona health officials are gearing up to award dozens of additional licenses for medical marijuana dispensaries. The Department of Health Services says the exact number of licenses that will be awarded isn't yet known, but says there will likely be about 30 available when the state begins accepting applications this summer. Arizona now has 99 licensed dispensaries, and that 92 of those are open and operating. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, April 28th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing, so are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about Teen Drug Use from Robert Platchorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles. Go back to the Oregon...
Moda Center with Cliff Robinson.
We are here at the Oregon Cannabis Caucus, National Cannabis Industry Association event, and Uncle Spliffy himself is here, Cliff Robinson. How you doing, Cliff?
I'm well. How are you?
Great. Glad to have you here. And I was just talking with Bernadette about the move to get professional athletes and people involved in athletics to understand the medical aspects of cannabis. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you're doing in that respect.
Well, we're really going to try to focus on the sports medicine side to really try to continue, you know, getting the education out there, because I think that's going to be the most important part as we continue to move forward to knock down the negative around cannabis, is really support the findings that we come up with, and really try to really create those findings and be out in front of those of those things, and you know, really try to validate what it is that we're talking about.
You know, we need to get this education out to the mainstream and to the management, the executives, the NBA, and these other sports leagues. The players themselves seem to get it, but do they get it from the perspective of, oh, weed's just not a big deal, or do they really understand the medical aspects?
Well, that's why we have to continue getting the information out there for them as well, because myself being new to the business, not new to cannabis, but new to the business side, now that all this information is out there, I'm a more educated cannabis consumer and user myself. So I think the more we can continue putting that information out there for them and putting products out there that they're able to test, I think you know, that'll go a long way.
You know, as a former NBA player, I'm sure you've been hit up for lots of different business opportunities. A lot of people want to try to get your name and celebrity involved with something. As you get involved with this cannabis industry, what do you think of the people and the industry itself?
Well, I think it's wonderful because, like I said, all this information that has been, you know, behind closed doors in a black market, so to speak, is now out there available to have a more educated cannabis user and consumer. I think you know, it's wonderful. The wealth of knowledge that has been behind closed doors is now out there for everybody to kind of really take in. You know me, I'm learning stuff new every day. So I'm excited about being a part of the industry.
Now, I understand there's a special event going on tomorrow involving Blazers versus Nugs. How appropriate. Can you tell us about that?
Well, it's an event over at the Blazers game. Josh Kincaid from Superchronics organized it. And, you know, it's really to continue, you know, doing positive things around cannabis as a whole. And, you know, I'm really excited to be a part of it, you know, especially there at the Moda Center. You know, the Blazers, you know, have opened up their doors to, you know, just, you know, being more educated as, you know, a business as well. So I'm excited to be a part of it.
I finally get a chance to ask you a non-marijuana question. Hypothetically, NBA Finals, 95-96 Bulls against this year's Warriors. What do you think? How does it go? Jordan versus Curry.
You know, I'm old school.
Oh, yeah?
You know, I think the Warriors have had tremendous success. You know, they're built for today's NBA. They do a great job at playing together, but I'm old school, so I would have to lean towards the Bulls.
I asked this of one person who said, depends on whether we're using the rules from the 90s or the rules from today.
Exactly. But if you use the rules for today, from today, imagine Michael Jordan in this kind of in this kind of system. He played great in a system where everybody's was hands-on. So
yeah.
Now if they couldn't touch him, imagine that.
Yeah, but on the other hand, Dennis Rodman would be a little limited.
He would be a little limited, but, you know, he's a Hall of Fame player. Scottie Pippen's a Hall of Fame player. Michael Jordan's arguably the greatest of all time. So.
And the Warriors coach, Steve Kerr.
And Steve Kerr was a part of that team, who was a great shooter. So, you know, it's fun to think about that kind of stuff, but, you know, each era is different, so you got to give them all their propers and their respects, and just, you know, I don't compare them.
Right on. Cliff Robinson, the Uncle Spliffy line. Give people any contact or internet information they need to look that stuff up.
We'll be launching our website here soon at Uncle Spliffy, UncleSpliffy.com. You can reach us on Twitter at Uncle Spliffy.
This is bullshit. It's like Cypress Hill concert in here.
All right, folks, that sound means that it's 4:20 in the mountain time zone. Denver, Colorado, getting the smoke on. You can see that haze rising above the Rocky Mountains, can't you? We're going to take a break. When we come back, my adventures from today, my trip to Columbia, South Carolina to visit Rosemary Wallace from Columbia Normal and pick up the Unity Torch on its way to Atlanta, Georgia tomorrow. We're out all day tomorrow live, so check us out.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
CannabisRadio.com keeps you in the know Monday through Friday on air and on demand with Cannabis Radio News, presented with the definitive worldwide news source, the Associated Press. Stay informed with exclusive news on all things cannabis. Cannabis Radio News, live weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, during the Russ Belville Show, or download the daily podcast exclusively on CannabisRadio.com, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. When breaking news happens in the cannabis industry, Cannabis Radio News delivers the details first.
The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, the national wildlife refuge for marijuana unicorns.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a Resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's Activist Agenda.
Today in the Activist Agenda, we visited the capital of South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, a beautiful state capital with a very remarkable monument to African-American history. I'll be posting some of the pictures of that on my Google Plus page. But we met up with Rosemary Wallace, who's a veteran who is fighting for medical marijuana access. And as we sat there on the bench talking and various lawmakers were walking by, she was always quick with a smile and quick with a greeting to that lawmaker. One saw her shirt that said Girl Scout cookies, and she said, "It's my medicine, sir." Very, very proud of Rosemary. This is my interview with her. Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here in Columbia, South Carolina, at the State House grounds, where we have met up with Rosemary, who is conducting this part of the Unity Cypher, the East Coast Cannabis Coalition, bringing this torch down from Portland, Maine, all the way to Miami, Florida. And Rosemary, thanks for inviting us here.
Oh, thank you very much for coming, Russ. I appreciate it.
So tell us how you got involved with cannabis activism, ending prohibition.
I got back started in 2008 in Charlotte, North Carolina, actually, through thanks to Rebecca Forbes. We were at a convention there during the DNC, and we met up. It was only 15 people out in the field when we first started, and then from there, I just never looked back.
So is there a, what brings you to this issue? Is there a personal angle to this? Did you know people that got busted, or is it a medical issue to you?
Oh, I'm all of the above. I mean, it's a personal issue. It's a medical issue. It's a vet issue. It's an everybody issue. And I think I'm the best representative in this area. Matter of fact, during the time that we've been here doing this, we've had 3 more people arrested for marijuana possession, which is ridiculous. It's a plant. You give pedophiles less time. So what is going on here? I mean, we seriously need to take a look at our state laws here and ask the question, are we really serious about this? You say you're Christians. This is not a Christian act what you're doing. You say you love God. This is not a godly act that you're doing, because you're persecuting people for using his plant that was put here on this earth for everybody, regardless if you are Christian or atheist. Matter of fact, Russ, I had an atheist to meet me at my church yesterday. Is that incredible?
It's a beautiful thing. I understand God loves atheists too.
Yes, he does. He loves everybody. So, she did not draw me aback. I'm not going to mention her name because I didn't get permission to. But if you check my Facebook page, you'll see the Christian and the atheist did meet up at the church. That is not a joke. That is real.
So you had an event in Rock Hill last night. How did that go?
Oh, that went great. It was pretty much just for me to pray over the torch for everybody that's touched it for healing purposes, and that we can go ahead and finally get healing in this state. This is well needed. They passed the CBD bill. That's fine. But we need more than that. We need a bill that's going to help not a few select people, but everyone.
Yeah, that's, the southern states, all of them have passed some form of a CBD legislation, but you don't have any place to get it here, even if you do have an epileptic kid, right?
That's correct. And the stuff that they do pass is, I don't consider it a true CBD, because you're going to need THC in order for that CBD to work.
That's something a lot of people don't know. And I think a lot of these legislators are just trying to cover their own butts when it comes to, well, we did something that's medical marijuana. Are you happy now? Not realizing, not having the education to know, like you said, the THC is important.
Yes, that's correct. Matter of fact, we just got finished with the legislation. We had one senator, Senator Johnson, that had the nerve to say in front of a committee, the medical board, saying that it causes people to beat their wives. Isn't that ridiculous?
Cannabis?
Yes. Isn't that ridiculous? I have it on tape. I almost fell out my chair listening to that crap.
It's almost, you sure that they weren't talking about alcohol?
Oh, I'm quite sure alcohol was involved. Look at that. We're talking about the moonshine capital right here. I mean, they're still running moonshine. If you don't look on the average, here in South Carolina, you have more domestic violence, and domestic violence starts with alcohol, not with cannabis. I don't know nobody yet personally, and I've been doing this for quite a long time, that I got beat up after smoking a blunt or a joint or, doing a dab. I done did over 30 events in the state of Colorado alone that I never seen nobody hurt. I did several events in D.C., didn't see nobody get hurt. So where are they getting this nonsense from, Russ? Please tell me.
I have no idea. And the penalties here in South Carolina are still pretty strict, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, some of the strictest in the country. So, me, I'm being risky. I'm like you, Radical Russ. I don't give up. You know what?
Ran out of them. I had a few, but they're all gone now. I don't know what.
But I do it for medical reasons, because the point is this. I suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm a veteran. I'm representing our veterans here in South Carolina, because we lose 22 a day, and 22 is too many. They can give you opioid prescriptions all day, but you say you use cannabis, they take my medication away from me. I have 3 ruptured discs in my back, a total knee replacement, and as of now, they took any kind of pain medication away from me. They will not give me any at all, because I came out the closet. But you know what? You can keep your pharmaceuticals. I don't need them. I don't want them. Personally, I can't wait to get out of this state so I can get some real medicine.
Let's hear it for that. So, Rosemary, other folks here in South Carolina, it must be difficult to come out of the closet. It must be difficult to stand up and be counted. So there's strength in numbers. What sort of contact information or websites can you give people if they want to band together and help out?
Okay, they can catch me up on Facebook, or they can catch me on my Miss Green Jeans page, or they can catch me on my show page, which I'm still looking. Right now I'm in a big deal that I can't go in with everybody, where's Rosemary's World of Cannabis is going to wind up. That's my show. And you can go on that page also, because we'll be posting up there. And also on Twitter as Miss Green Jeans 1, as I started out with One Blunt Radio in this beautiful city of Denver, Colorado. Hello, everybody. I love y'all. Miss you.
Rosemary Wallace, thank you so much for putting this on. And check out Ms. Green Jeans 1.
That's correct.
On Twitter.
All right. We'll be back with more as we get some more people here at the Capitol here in South Carolina. I'm Radical Russ. Stay tuned. We're back right after this. That was Rosemary Wallace at the state capitol, and we did wait there for people to show up, and unfortunately, none did. It was early morning on a weekday, but I'm afraid that there's just still a lot of fear in South Carolina. A lot of people afraid to show their face and to be open about their support for marijuana legalization. That, however, did not deter us at all. Continued with our celebration of marijuana legalization, and I'm sure Rosemary will still be fighting. When we come back, we've got a cannabinoid medicine update, great news from Dr. Sue Sisley on a new organization of physicians when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Maui Wowie. Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strain stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
While humans have been using cannabis for medicinal purposes for over 5,000 years, medical science is only beginning to unlock the secrets of the endocannabinoid system and the promise of cannabinoid medicines. Join us now for the latest cannabinoid medicine update.
Good day, tokers and tokettes. Radical Russ here at the Museum of Drug Policy, a very interesting temporary 3-day museum that's just popped up here on Park Avenue, and I've run into Dr. Sue Sisley. Hello, Dr. Sue.
Hi, everybody.
Now, we're really excited to talk to you because the rumor has it there's this brand new organization that's going to be kicking ass on drug reform. Tell us all about it.
Yes, we're a new nonprofit called Doctors for Cannabis Regulation, and we just launched yesterday, and we're so thrilled. We had a terrific teleconference with tons of media outlets talking about the important, you know, basically what we're trying to do is create a sanctuary for physicians to speak publicly about their support of full adult legalization in this country. And we, you know, are really thrilled to finally see common sense and public health prevail over drug war propaganda.
So this is going beyond doctors calling for medicinal applications of cannabis, but also calling for decriminalization, regulation, legalization as a harm reduction measure?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually don't even focus on medical cannabis. That's not part of our mission. We're strictly, you know, laser focused on trying to end prohibition nationally. And then ultimately, our board hopes to expand internationally and work with other countries. You know, we've already gotten tons of inquiries from physicians worldwide who've heard about our group, who want to participate and see if we can help influence their drug policy also. So we're basically focused squarely on full adult legalization, creating a tax and regulate model in all the states so that eventually, you know, ultimately the idea would be to remove physicians as gatekeepers from these medical cannabis programs. I don't think any of us like the idea of being a gatekeeper for a God-given plant that has never been put through the proper drug development process. We want, you know, the plant to be fully decriminalized, descheduled, not rescheduled. That's important to emphasize that we don't believe in rescheduling at all. We know that it has to be descheduled in order to achieve full legalization, in order to achieve the end of these absurd barriers to research. And that's a big part of how I entered this. The reason I was so enthusiastic about joining this board of directors is because, of course, we've become experts in the barriers to marijuana research over the last 6 years with our PTSD study being systematically impeded by the government. I've got firsthand knowledge now on how the government has been able to stonewall this study, because the truth is you cannot study the cannabis plant, the efficacy of the cannabis plant, in an atmosphere of prohibition. We've proven that it's impossible to do this. And most scientists can't afford to be languishing for 6 years waiting for a study to get underway. And so we are eager to see legalization implemented nationally and to see research finally flourish in this country.
20 years ago, when we saw the first major breakthrough, California and Arizona passed medical cannabis initiatives. Of course, Arizona's called for a prescription, so it didn't work. But the reaction from the federal government, the Clinton administration, specifically Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel, was to try to shut down doctors' free speech rights, to go after them if they even recommended cannabis. We had to go to the Supreme Court to get that right. So who are on your board of directors, these brave doctors, and how difficult is it to get doctors to speak out like this?
Yeah, well, it's surprising how easily we managed to get 53 physicians, some of the most prominent, highly credentialed physicians in the country, to join not just the board of directors, but this growing list of founding members. And we're so pleased because these are really mainstream physicians. I mean, one of the problems is that the docs who usually speak out about this are often sort of on the fringe. They're often naturopaths and folks. But these are mainstream MDs and DOs that are acknowledging that the harms of criminalizing this plant and saying this must end, that we view this as a public health crisis now. The racial disparities are sickening and it needs to stop. And I'm really proud of it. And I think what you'll see is the quality of the physicians who've taken the lead in this group, people like that you probably know these names, the incredible Julie Holland, the author of the Pot Book. We have Donald Abrams on our honorary board, Andy Weil on our honorary board, some just terrific people. We have former Surgeon General Jocelyn Elders calling for full legalization. And, and yesterday we even had Wesley Clark Wesley Clark participated in this national teleconference and said some really powerful things about why this is so urgent. So I think we're in a great position to be able to bring along a lot of new doctors and create a real sanctuary for physicians to finally feel free to come out and speak openly about this. Because the truth is, when I speak to my physician colleagues privately, whether it's in the doctor's lounges, at dinners and things, we always talk about how unfair, how unjust it is that our society continues to criminalize this plant. But to get them to speak on the record about that has been impossible. So now we're going to create a forum where they can come out and talk about this without fear of retribution and reprisal, because they're going to be surrounded by other like-minded physicians who are also at the level they are, and they're going to hopefully find the courage to do that. We're really thrilled about, we're getting a lot of momentum. We had an incredible piece in the Washington Post last week where they highlighted, you know, they went over all the mission of the group and the vision moving forward. And one of the interesting things was they quoted DuPont in the article, who said, who's clearly a prohibitionist.
And Robert DuPont.
Yeah, Robert DuPont said, and I'm not quoting him properly, but he said that he thinks that, you know, ending prohibition is an incredibly idiotic idea, and that he said that he thinks that the criminal justice system is an extremely effective method of treating addicts. So it's so helpful when we have opponents like that who are making completely absurd statements like that we can easily challenge publicly. And I think that the public support for our work, you know, it's great to be on the side of common sense and good reasoning. And we feel like we're taking the right position here. And people like Robert DuPont are completely out of step with the rest of the public.
The American Medical Association hasn't even come around on medical cannabis. How are you going to interface with that organization and get them to come around?
Well, the good news is we don't need them. I mean, organized medicine has become, completely irrelevant. You know, over the last few decades, they've lost, millions of members. You know, there's very few. In most states, organized medicine represents under 20% of the physician community. And so that's... it's great that that there's, most doctors are free thinkers and they don't need to look to organized medicine to tell them how to view this idea. The issue about ending unfair reforming drug policies that are bad for patients is a common sense issue. It's actually embedded in the AMA Code of Ethics. If you see one of the principles of our ethical code is that we will abide by the laws of our nation, but we will also seek to change laws that are detrimental to our patients. And this is a clear damage to patients. The harms of criminalization are so obvious, and I think that we have a duty as physicians who see the harms of criminalizing this plan every day, to see families torn apart, to see lives ruined by being thrown in cages and all. It's so obvious that we have a duty to our patients and to our communities to take a very public stand on this now and stop living in complacency. And I'm really excited to go toe to toe with the AMA, and if they don't come around, certainly we'll be eager to debate them at every turn and show them why their thinking is so antiquated and why it's time to come together with the rest of society and say that, that's what this was supposed to be about, right? UNGAS was supposed to be about finally reevaluating antiquated drug policies and creating reform, but I don't see that happening here, and that's sad. I mean, we're all here with each other, at least, creating a groundswell of support, and hopefully we'll be able to stop people along the way and persuade them to reconsider their, old thinking.
Let's hope so. Final question. We ran into you first because you were granted that FDA study rights for PTSD and medical cannabis. Can you give us a quick update on that?
Yeah. The good news is that we're getting closer to starting. After 6 years of being impeded by the government, we had a successful DEA inspection a few weeks ago. And the DEA Schedule 1 license is the only thing prohibiting us from moving forward. Once we get a Schedule 1 license, I'll be allowed to purchase marijuana study drug from the University of Mississippi. I'll be able to then start screening patients. We'll create an 800 number for veterans to call and be screened so we can enroll patients both at my site in Phoenix, and we have a second site at the Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. So we're really thrilled. I will be announcing some big news later this week after 420 about the study, which I'm excited to update you on. But so far, things are looking optimistic finally after so many years of delays. That's how the DEA usually has won at this, is they've by suppressing scientific research, you can't create, you know, there's no opportunity to look at data that might legitimize cannabis as medicine. So I always felt that was their strategy here. But I'm starting to see that we're breaking through, and the DEA is starting to realize the public pressure on them to stop blocking this work. So hopefully later in the week we'll be able to update you on this big announcement.
That's great stuff. Dr. Sue Sisley, tell us the name of the organization again and any contact info people need to join
it. Yes, absolutely. So it's Doctors for Cannabis Regulation. It's the hashtag is Doctors Say Legalize, and the website is dfcr.org.
dfcr.org. Check it out. Sue, thank you for joining us.
You got it.
Great meeting up with Dr. Sue Sisley there in New York City at the Museum of Drug Policy on Park Avenue. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we take you a little farther south to Baltimore, Maryland, where I met up with Dr. David Behrman at the Patients Out of Time Conference. Then stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll talk a little bit about the news of the day. I got this story about corrupt cops in Chicago caught red-handed lying on the stand. It's a beautiful story. And then we've got State Senator Floyd Prezansky from the state of Oregon discussing the future of Oregon cannabis business at the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. All coming up next on the Russ Belville Show.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested.
Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network,
founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption.
Let's grow together. The Cannabis Radio Network. CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
While humans have been using cannabis for medicinal purposes for over 5,000 years, medical science is only beginning to unlock the secrets of the endocannabinoid system and the promise of cannabinoid medicines. Join us now for the latest cannabinoid medicine update.
We're here at the 10th annual conference for cannabis therapeutics, sponsored by Patients Out of Time. We're at the Baltimore Harbor Hotel, and I'm sitting at the desk with Dr. David Behrman, MD, author of Drugs Are Not the Devil's Tools. Capitalize not
exactly
the devil's tools. How are you doing, Dr. Behrman?
I'm doing just fine, and I want to thank you very much for mentioning my book up in Portland there to the, was it the normal chapter that you're working with? Yeah, that's great.
It's a fantastic set of books, I've often said to people, like, if you've already bought Jack Herer's Emperor Wears No Clothes, this is the next set of books that you need to get because it fills in all those other gaps that were left out.
And I'm going to use that in my advertising.
Okay.
You know, there's no greater compliment than being compared to Jack's book.
You know? Oh, yeah. So tell people, because it's two volumes here, so explain why there's two separate volumes and what they're going to find in each.
Well, the reason that there's two separate volumes is my publisher told my layout person, you can make the internal margin either 3/4 of an inch or 1 inch. He made it 3/4 of an inch, and the book is too long. So we're actually going to be coming out with a single volume late this summer. We've edited it. It's going to be newly laid out. But right now, the first volume goes from the Dark Ages through 1969. It's the idea with the book is to place cannabis and the way we approach that in the frame of a long history of using drug laws to marginalize, discriminate against people, and also to take advantage of drugs as a way of making money. And basically, it's turned out to be a control mechanism for the ruling classes in terms of enriching them and also marginalizing people who are them. And, you know,
yeah,
we've all been them sometime in the history of the world.
You're one of my favorite thems.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But we're us, aren't we us? Them are them.
Them
us
are them, and we are us. And you know, this was corroborated recently in that Harper's Magazine piece where Ehrlichman, the public policy advisor to Nixon, came out right out and said it. Look, we did this so we could infiltrate the hippies and the blacks.
Exactly. And that actually is mentioned in my book. And an even deeper analysis of that was done by Dr. Sunil Agarwal, who wrote an excellent article on the Nixon tapes and mentioned what Ehrlichman had to say, and also talked about Nixon being angry at the directors of NIMH or NIH during the 60s. One was Stanley Yalies, the other one is Burt Brown, and when asked about what would be the appropriate punishment, they said, oh, something like a traffic ticket.
Yeah.
And Nixon wanted to fire Brown, but he realized that Brown was a friend of Elliot Richardson, and Elliot Richardson was the head of HEW at the time and wasn't going to fire his friend.
Right.
And that was part of the motivation, as I get it from Dr. Agarwal's article, for developing the National Institute of Drug Abuse, to get this out of the hands of the scientists and put it in the hands of people who had more of a criminal justice orientation.
Gotcha. It's all beginning to make sense. It's all in these two-volume set, Drugs Are Not the Devil's Tools. People looking for this online, where would they find it?
We have our own website. You can go to the drugsarenotthedevilstools.com. Or you can go to my website, davidbearmanmd.com. And Bearman is spelled just like it sounds, B-E-A-R-M-A-N. The comes in black and white and color. The black and white is $30 per volume, so that's $60 for both of them. And the colored is $45 per volume. And the only difference is the colored is prettier. They have exactly the same...
same content.
The same content. But as we're sitting here at the conference here at Patients Out of Time, I was pleased that everything that was covered this morning, where they talked about the terpenes and the cannabinoids and the endocannabinoid system, all of that material is covered in my book. This is a great foundation book to give you an idea of the history of drug policy, which goes way back to the witch hunts. And, I mean, that's very appropriate since cannabis has been a part of the witch hunts since sometime in the 1940s. And what I'm hoping is that if not the book itself, the information in the book will get out there, because we still have way, way too many physicians who have no idea about the long history of cannabis as a medicine and about its remarkable applications today.
No doubt about that. And I also know that you're strongly involved with the American Academy of Cannabinoid Medicines.
Right.
And what's the latest there?
Okay, well, thank you very much for bringing that up. The American Academy of Cannabinoid Medicine is an effort to try to recognize those doctors that are practicing good quality medicine, and sort of by its very existence to marginalize those physicians who are practicing minimalist medicine when it comes to recommending cannabis. The guys who pull up the trailer to the Cannabis Expo and you could see the line move in front of their trailer.
Yeah.
That undermines the seriousness with which we should take cannabinoid medicine. We continue to get new members. We're a very frugally funded organization, so if anybody listening to your program wants to promote good quality medicine in the cannabinoid medicine field, go to our website, which is aacmsite.org, aacmsite.org, let me know if you are interested in contributing money, because you will really put forth getting this front and center before medical professionals the way it's supposed to be. We have done a couple of continuing education activities, and we have sort of dimly in the future, we've approached the Veterans Administration in Long Beach, and they have some interest, but you know how it is. It's mm-hmm. not easy to get the government to change, even when you have people that are interested in. And then Greg Carter, who is busier than a one-armed paper hanger, is the co-director of the St. Luke's Institute for Rehabilitation in Spokane. And he has said, hey, let's put on a conference up here in Spokane. But beyond him expressing his interest, we haven't really gotten started on that. So I'm going to be presenting a survey that we did, or an extraction of data from 300 charts, 100 from each of three cannabinoid medicine physicians, which is a beginning. It's to lay a foundation for looking at what we should study more in terms of the clinical application. And basically what we found is what an old clinical medicine professor of mine said. He had a thick Austrian accent, and he said, if you diagnose common disease commonly and rare disease rarely, you'll commonly be right and rarely be wrong.
And well put.
So what we found with the use of cannabis as a medicine, it's commonly used for common disease, and more rarely do you find rare diseases. And, you know, you take a look, and in our study we found about 1% or 2% of the patients had migraine headaches, and the same had seizures. And that's because not everybody and his brother has epilepsy.
Right.
But everybody and his brother does have pain, which was the number one reason that we found for people using cannabis. So I hope that people are interested in the American Academy of Cannabinoid Medicine, because we're trying really hard to get the medical profession to recognize that this is an important medicine, and that it's important to take it seriously and to approach it the same way we would other serious therapeutic modalities.
I've been asking everyone at the conference their take on the recent talk about DEA and rescheduling possibly happening. What do you think about that possibility?
I think they wouldn't be talking about it if they weren't serious, and obviously they have to do something if they're going to approve Sativex, the product for multiple sclerosis, or Epidiolex, the product for seizure disorder. So I think they're going to do it. And my only concern now is we've been demanding legalization and regulation, and I just hope that, be careful what you ask for, you might get it. Regulation and legalization is like anything else, the devil is in the details. So I think the general idea is a good idea, and I'm very concerned about the government, because their track record is abysmal in the area of drug regulation. Almost every action that they have taken subsequent to the Pure Food and Drug Act of 1906 has been an abysmal failure.
Wow. Strong words from Dr. David Behrman here at the Conference for Clinical Therapeutics. Patients out of time. The book is Drugs Are Not the Devil's Tools. Volume 1, Volume 2, you can get it black and white or color. Check out drugsarenotthedevilstools.com. Check out American Academy for Cannabinoid Medicine, AACM site. www.cannabisregulation.org. Great running into Dr. David Behrman in Baltimore, Maryland. And folks, that's all the time we got for Hour 1. But stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. Also got a story to tell you coming out of Chicago. Chicago narcs busted lying through their teeth on the stand in a marijuana case. You know I love those kind of stories. And a special exclusive on the Russ Belville Show. We've got the entire presentation, half-hour presentation by State Senator Floyd Prezansky from Oregon, who's been a longtime supporter of the marijuana movement. We got his remarks at the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, live from South Carolina, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.